This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at wheat for Tuesday, March 21st. Well, yesterday the wheat markets were relatively quiet. We had a bit of a firm start, but then the market sold off, basically trading almost an inside day to just kind of weakening, barely taking out Friday's low. So Kansas City was an inside day, Minneapolis an inside day. Chicago just barely took out Friday's low, so not a lot of direction coming from the wheat market. In corn, we were lower there too to start the day, and then we just slowly worked our way back up, closing near the highs of the day, which were just still slightly lower on the session, but we were well off the lows of the day. So it's almost looking like a bit of a spike bottom for corn after just a one-day correction. In soybeans, there too, market saw some early pressure, put in a new low for the move, and then we did reverse back up and close higher. So a nice little spike low in soybeans as well. Even though we're in the middle of a huge harvest in Brazil, the soybean market has held together pretty well. You've got, you know, very poor conditions in Argentina, which are largely going to offset the Brazilian gains. You've got the concern about an increase in corn acres here in the United States, taking away from some of the soybean acres, and you just have a huge demand for soy meal. So not to mention a lot of biofuel, biodiesel plants coming online this year. So it's just a strong underlying demand for the soybeans in general. Getting back to wheat, you know, we're headed into the key part of the growing season. We're well advanced in Texas, and the rains just simply have not arrived for that the entire western third of the southern and central plains. And it's getting to be too late in Texas. It's dire in Oklahoma. Kansas, you still could have some saving rains if they arrive soon, but they just are not in the forecast. And we've seen these 6 to 10 day forecasts and 8 to 14s that bring in above normal precip. And a week later, you know, it's no longer in the forecast. So we're really having a tough time getting things rolling in the southern and central plains. That's taking a toll on crop conditions. We had our weekly crop condition updates from the four main states in the south and the central plains. In Texas, we're at 44% poor to very poor, which is actually down 6 from last week. Good to excellent that was at 23%, which was up 6. We're at 22% headed, which is up 1 on the week and up 10 over the 5-year average. In Oklahoma, poor to very poor sits at 43%, which is down 1. Good to excellent is at 29%, also down 1. Headed at, the joint at 22%, that's up 10 over last week and up 1 over the 5-year average. In Kansas, we're at 50% poor to very poor, that's down 2 on the week. 19% good to excellent is up 2. Colorado, we're at 23% poor to very poor, which was unchanged. And we're at 36% just good, nothing in the excellent category. And that was down 4 from last week. So, you know, we're seeing some improvement, but not a lot. And again, the rains just simply aren't coming and they're not in the forecast. So I would think that this market's going to start to add some pretty important weather premium here quickly. Kansas City would likely be the leader. We were pretty quiet on the night session until we just started getting into the late morning hours, and the market took a pretty good surge up. So Kansas City was up about 9 headed into the break. Chicago was just up a couple. So I think that Kansas City will be the leader to the upside. From a production standpoint and fundamentals, Chicago would be hard-pressed to be the leader of the wheat space higher unless you get something global happening, and that would likely be an escalation of issues in the Black Sea. But from a fundamental perspective, especially domestically, Kansas City is the leader to the upside. Hard red winter wheat is the most at risk in the plains, and we're even with an increase in acres. And of course, soft red has an increase in acres as well. And speaking of acres, you know, we've bantied about back and forth about the northern plains and the attraction to planting corn maybe taking away some acres from spring wheat. But when you look at the snow cover across the northern plains with more on the way, and more cold on the way, it's going to be a late spring. And it's hard to envision the northern tier, you know, the northern plains, which already has a short growing season, putting in corn, you know, late in the ground. I just don't see that happening. Spring wheat is very forgiving that way. I've seen it planted in early June, and they're still harvesting it by, you know, by the fall. So I, you know, the default would be to go back to spring wheat, which of course, North Dakota, northern South Dakota, western Minnesota, that's key spring wheat country. And of course, it stretches into Montana, but I don't see the kind of cold temperature delays in Montana nearly to the degree that we're likely going to see in the Dakotas and Minnesota. Now, the market maybe is factoring some of that in. It's hard to say. Obviously, you know, Minneapolis is not the leader. Corn is not the leader to the upside. But I think that as time goes on, and if you don't get a quick warm up, which would lead to flooding anyway, but it would clear out the fields faster, I think corn is going to have to start, you know, shaving off some acreage base, and if, you know, those acres, Minnesota, you know, the eastern Dakotas probably would go over to soybeans rather than spring wheat. But it does open up more acres for both soybeans and spring wheat. So with corn, you know, the market's been assuming you're going to see a pretty notable jump in acres, but that's debatable, number one. And number two, when you're looking at South America, you've got Argentina just in a wicked drought, the worst in 60-some years. So the private estimates of corn production coming out of Argentina are now hovering around 35 million tons. USDA just a couple weeks ago pegged it at 40, but still it's down about 9.5 million tons from last year at 35 million. Brazil, on the other hand, is planting their safrinha corn crop right behind their record soybean crop, and it's widely expected that they'll probably cut a record corn crop. Their estimate is 125 million tons. That's up 9 from last year. So basically just offsets the losses from Argentina. So that's a push coming out of South America. So we don't see a global build in corn supplies coming from the southern hemisphere. It would have to come from the northern hemisphere. Now the assumption that U.S. would plant more acres certainly would lead one to think that global supplies will increase, but Ukraine is not going to be able to help with that. Their estimates now for 2023 corn production are hovering around 16 million tons, which is down 11 million from last year. It's down 26 million tons from 2 years ago. It's just a huge drop. They expect wheat production to be around 14 million tons, which is down 6 from last year and down 19 from 2021. The chatter we're hearing coming out of Ukraine for spring crops, for corn, number one, it's an expensive crop to grow and money's tight. Two, most of that production gets exported, and that's a very unreliable market at this point. And it's just been a grind getting stuff exported from last year and the year before's crop. So the solution to producers is to plant something else. And the other major crop that they have is sunflowers. Now they can go to barley, some spring barley, but most of their barley is a winter barley as well. So the chatter is that there's going to be a huge increase in sunflower production, which is more of a domestic demand crop anyway. So that's kind of where Ukraine stands. We're not going to see a major contribution to world corn stocks coming out of Ukraine. So basically it falls on the United States for this coming marketing year, the crop year of 23-24. So the plantings in Brazil that are going on right now, expected to be 125 million tons, that offsets the loss from Argentina's crop, which is already planted and already being stressed. So you have, again, a push coming out of South America. And you don't have a big contribution to the world's third largest exporter, which used to be Ukraine. So it's the U.S. And we're looking at delayed plantings, I would think, would be a pretty reasonable expectation across a big chunk of corn country. You know, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, That's a huge part of corn production, and it's a high likelihood that that's going to be late. So either they switch to a shorter season variety, which means lower yields, or they just switch to another crop. So those are things I think that are about to become much more front and center in the corn market. And I think that the lows that we saw here a couple weeks ago are going to turn out to be longer term lows, and that from this point on, breaks will be pretty well supported. We're seeing demand shift over to the United States, which is typical this time of year, but China has really stepped up. They bought right at 2 million tons of corn last week alone. So, the demand shift has clearly happened. Brazil is taking a way back seat. Their stocks are pretty much depleted from last year. So we're Ukraine is still trying to get stuff exported, and they still have some to export, but it's slow and it's a grind. So it's the U.S., and clearly the demand is coming to us. So I think, from at least a short-term perspective, headed into the planting season, usually you get some bumps up there, and I think there's very good reason to think that you'll get that again, just kind of building in some delayed planting premium. But also the demand base is coming here as well. Basis has remained strong. That's a good signal of underlying cash support. So I think corn is a good place to be here, at least for the short term. And then it just depends on what kind of weather we get for our growing season. Odds are high that you'll get off to a good start, because there's plenty of moisture. If anything, it's probably too much moisture. You're probably going to see some flooding across the north, and that will delay plantings. But moisture will make grain. It's as you get into the July time window that if things start drying down, we'll just have to see. But I think that if you do get any kind of a weather threat to the corn and even the bean crop for that matter, but I think corn really takes the biggest leap. We'll have the most momentum to the upside with that. So I guess, all in all, when you're looking at this, I think our lows have been formed, our seasonal lows. I think we're going to work our way higher over the next month at least. For wheat, we're going to target early May as our normal seasonal top. I think Kansas City has a lot of potential to the upside here. We want to be buying the breaks there. And I think corn, too, will be well supported on breaks. If you have any questions, feel free to call 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.